This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Friday, August 24th, 2018. Coming up this hour,
U.S.-China trade talks yield no major progress, setting the stage for an escalation of the trade war.
NAFTA talks extend into next week as Canada sits on the sideline.
Australia has a new prime minister, its sixth in just 11 years.
And investors await word from Jay Powell in Jackson Hole.
Hurricane Lane has already caused major flooding as it's near Hawaii, plus the latest chapter in the feud between President Trump and Attorney General Jeff Sessions. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschke. Coming up in sports, Mets and Giants split a four-game set. And Thursday night football, the Eagles and Browns played what looked like a baseball score of their own.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures and European equities are gaining ahead of remarks from Federal Reserve Chairman Jay Powell. We are coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 5 points this morning. Dow futures up 48. NASDAQ futures up 16. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. So is the FTSE 100. CAC in Paris up 0.5%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gain 0.9%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 0.4%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32nds, yield 2.83%. Yield on the 2-year 2.62%. NYMEX crude oil up 1% or 65 cents to $68.48 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.3% or $3.40 to $11.97.40 an ounce. The euro, $1.1566. The yen, 111.43. Bob.
We begin with trade. Low-level talks between the U.S. and China this week yielded no major progress. And former U.S. Trade Representative Timothy Stratford says the deadlock is likely to continue for quite some time.
The gaps between China's position in these trade talks and the U.S. position are really very great. And there are a lot of reasons to expect that it's still going to take quite some time before the two sides will be able to resolve these issues.
The trade war is now primed to escalate. No further talks have been scheduled, and the U.S. could enact tariffs on an additional $200 billion of Chinese goods as soon as September 6th.
Meanwhile, President Trump is taking aim at China over postal rates. He's directing the U.S. Postal Service to eliminate postal discounts for Chinese merchants. The move could raise costs for companies like Alibaba while helping e-commerce platforms and shipping companies like Amazon and FedEx.
When it comes to trade in North America, NAFTA talks are poised to spill into next week. The U.S. and Mexico continue to work out their issues before bringing Canada back into the discussions. Former U.S. Commerce Secretary Carlos Gutierrez.
This is a little bit of pressure on Canada. They're using a little bit of leverage. Because Mexico and the U.S. are negotiating better than the U.S. and Canada, we still have to get Canada in, and then it has to go through Parliament, the Congress, and the Mexican Congress.
Negotiators for Canada haven't attended talks in more than 5 weeks. Some of the toughest remaining issues include U.S. access to Canadian dairy and a clause that could end NAFTA in 5 years.
Trade concerns are front and center at the Kansas City Fed's annual economic symposium in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the details. Good morning, John.
Well, Karen, the backdrop to the symposium is the increasing likelihood of an escalation in tit-for-tat tariffs. Widening trade disputes pose risks to the global expansion, according to J.P. Morgan International Chairman Jacob Frankel.
When the damage is seen in the data, it will be too late and we will have lost the war.
His comments are echoed by former Reserve Bank of India Governor Raj Rajan.
Actions on trade on either side would be a very strong headwind to that growth, and that would be a source of big concern.
Also in attendance at Jackson Hole, the former Federal Reserve Vice Chairman Alan Blinder. He isn't ruling out what he calls a really big trade war that could derail even the U.S. economy.
It just seems to be getting nastier and nastier. If it gets to that kind of scope, it becomes like a supply shock for the U.S. economy.
Bloomberg Economics says the escalating trade tensions are already offsetting some of the economic gains from tax reforms. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak. Bob.
Thank you, John. At Jackson Hole today, it's all about Jay Powell, with the Fed chairman set to make remarks at 10 a.m. Wall Street time. Bloomberg International Economics and Policy Correspondent Michael McKee is there.
Will the Fed chairman suggest any change to the path of American monetary policy or offer a bland overview of the conference topic? The leaders of the world's other major central banks are skipping the meeting. But one interesting name on the guest list, however, Marvin Goodfriend, the Carnegie Mellon economist whose nomination to the Fed board has stalled in the Senate. In Jackson Hole, Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Michael, thank you, and stay tuned this morning for interviews with Fed Presidents Jim Bullard, Loretta Mester, and Robert Kaplan. Michael McKee speaks with them live from Jackson Hole on Bloomberg Radio and Television, and you can catch those conversations between 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. Wall Street time.
We go around the world to Australia now, where the country has a new prime minister.
There was a ballot conducted in the party room for the leadership of the Liberal Party. The successful candidate was Scott Morrison.
Chief Government Whip Nola Marino making the announcement. Treasurer Scott Morrison becomes Australia's sixth prime minister in just 11 years. Malcolm Turnbull was ousted from the position after infringing among the ruling Liberal Party. The Aussie dollar is stronger now. It is trading at 0.7282 against the dollar.
And now an issue much closer to home that has financial implications for folks on Wall Street. The IRS is pushing to block plans from New York and New Jersey to bypass the new federal cap on state and local tax deductions. Bloomberg tax reporter Laura Davison has more on those plans from New York and New Jersey and how the IRS is looking to block them.
So what they've said is, look, you can take your first $10,000 as the federal deduction, and then for any amount you have over that, you know, $20,000, $30,000, you can pay it to a fund in the state, and we'll consider that a charitable contribution. So you can still pay your taxes to the state, as well as get a deduction from the federal government. The way they did that is they would also give taxpayers a credit as an incentive to make these payments. And what the IRS has said, look, these aren't real charitable deductions. We're just going to give you a small fraction of that. It's no good otherwise.
Those proposed regulations from the IRS take effect after Monday, August 27th. That gives taxpayers who already have made charitable donations or can make them in the next 3 days a possible break on their 2018 taxes.
Futures are higher this morning. S&P futures are up 5 points. Dow futures up 51. NASDAQ futures up about 18. The 10-year Treasury is down 2/32. The yield 2.83%, and the yield on the 2-year 2.62%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. That brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street. It's raining, it's pouring in Hawaii. The latest on the big storm over the Big Island now from Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. Hurricane Elaine has caused extreme flooding on Hawaii's Big Island. The islands are being pounded with heavy rains from the Category 3 hurricane. Hawaii Governor David Ige.
Want everyone to continue to be prepared and respond. Stay in contact with friends and families. Shelter in place as the first option. If you feel that you're not in a safe place, then seek shelter in one of the many emergency shelters that have been open.
Some parts of the Big Island have received about 2 feet of rain, maybe more. Senators from both parties came to the defense of Jeff Sessions after President Trump complained that the Attorney General had no control over the Justice Department. Republican Senator Ben Sasse says Sessions is just doing his job and firing him would be a bad idea.
The Attorney General's job is not to be a political hack. The Attorney General's job is to defend the Constitution and to follow the rule of law, and that's what Jeff Sessions is doing.
Sessions himself fired back in a statement, saying, while I am Attorney General, the actions of the Department of Justice will not be improperly influenced by political considerations. The National Enquirer reportedly kept a safe containing documents on hush money payments and other damaging stories it killed as part of its relationship with Donald Trump as the 2016 presidential election approached. That is from the Associated Press. Several media outlets reported that federal prosecutors have granted immunity to Trump's longtime friend, National Enquirer Chief David Pecker. Some congressional Democrats are reportedly thinking about trying to impeach President Trump after his former lawyer Michael Cohen implicated him in hush money payments. President Trump's attorney Rudy Giuliani told Sky News, if he is impeached, the American people would revolt.
I think impeachment would be totally horrible. I mean, there's no reason. He didn't collude with the Russians. He didn't obstruct justice. Everything Cohen says has been disproved. You'd only impeach him for political reasons, and the American people would revolt against that.
The suspect in two New York City shootings surrendered to police overnight. The 22-year-old has been charged with reckless endangerment and criminal mischief after firing shots from Roosevelt Island into the windows of high-rise apartment buildings across the East River. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. And that moves us along to 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning to you, Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Bob. The Mets and Giants split a four-game set at Citi Field with San Francisco's Madison Bumgarner getting the best of Jacob deGrom, 3-1. He allowed one earned run in six innings, striking out 10. Mets skipper Mickey Callaway.
Yeah, I thought to get through six innings, 10 strikeouts, you know, limit them, keep us in the game. He did an unbelievable job, especially like you said, he probably didn't have his best fastball command he's had all year. But he's such a good pitcher. He's got other ways to get you out, so it's not his success doesn't hinge on whether or not he's got just fastball command.
Rookie Jeff McNeil continues to impress, going 1-for-4. He's hitting .330. Mets continue the homestand as the Nationals are in town this weekend. Yankees are in Baltimore, who, despite having the worst record in baseball, have played the Yankees tough this year. CC Sabathia battles Alex Cobb. New York starts the day 9.5 back of Boston, but 4 ahead of Oakland in the wild card race. A's fell to Minnesota 6-4. NFL preseason kicked off in Cleveland for week 3. The Browns shut out the Eagles 5-0. All the scoring in the first half. Philadelphia quarterback Nick Foles struggled, throwing just 127 yards worth of football and 2 interceptions. Coach Doug Peterson not impressed.
We had 6 possessions. We had 2 interceptions, 2 fumbles. We had a sack safety, and we had a turnover on down. So displeased with the way our first offense executed.
Jets host the Giants tonight at MetLife at 7:30. Both teams are 1-1. Golf Northern Trust Open from Ridgewood Country Club in Paramus finds Brooks Koepka and Dustin Johnson 1 stroke back off the leaderboard. There's a 5-way tie atop the board at 5-under. Phil Mickelson's -3, and Tiger shot an opening round even par. Tough break for the Staten Island Little Leaguers. They were eliminated by Georgia at the World Series. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Thanks, Rob Bushka. Tune in tonight for Bloomberg Business of Sports. This week, co-host Scott Soschnick and Michael Barr speak to the Chief Revenue Officer for the U.S. Tennis Association, Lou Scher. Catch that conversation tonight at 8, tomorrow morning at 11, or download the Bloomberg Business of Sports Apple podcast. This is Bloomberg. Daybreak, brought to you by National Realty. Developers of prime New York, Hoboken, Philadelphia, and Delray Beach real estate, up to 20% return properties. See them at nria.net.
Global news, 24 hours a day, at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are edging higher in Europe alongside U.S. stock index futures after a mixed session in Asia as trade negotiations with China drew a blank. The dollar slipping before an address from Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell, who checked the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 6 points, Dow futures up 46, NASDAQ futures up 20, the DAX in Germany up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.83%, yield on the 2-year 2.62%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.3% or 86 cents to $68.68 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.3% or $3.90 to $11.98 an ounce. The euro $1.1576, the yen 111.40. We get a report on durable goods orders out at 8:30 Wall Street time today, and Foot Locker's among companies scheduled to report earnings. And Altria is down 1.3% in early trading. The shares downgraded to hold from buy at Jefferies. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, sirens wailed while workers piled sandbags in front of hotels on Waikiki Beach as Hurricane Elaine barreled north after dumping nearly 2 feet of rain on parts of Hawaii's Big Island. Lane, a Category 3 storm, has maximum sustained winds of 120 miles per hour. The feud between President Trump and his attorney general has gone to a new level. The president is complaining that Jeff Sessions never took control of the Justice Department, but Sessions fired back and insists that he and his department will not be improperly influenced by political considerations. In baseball, the Mets lost to the Giants. The Yankees were off. The Red Sox won. The Nationals and A's lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
And thank you, Michael. Coming up on 6:20 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker. Well, central bankers have gathered at their confab in Jackson Hole. As we get ready for the presentations, this morning from President Trump, a just-out tweet. Our economy is setting records on virtually every front, probably the best our country has ever done. Tremendous value created since the election. The world is respecting us again. Companies are moving back to the USA. End of the tweet. Elena Shaletova of Bloomberg Economics. So good to see you is joining us this morning. What is the backdrop to the Jackson Hole conference?
So I think we're not going to hear much in terms of where the immediate monetary policy is going to, like where it's going to be, like whether they're going to raise rates, like say in September, December. They will probably talk more about structural changes to the economy. Things like low productivity, low potential GDP growth, and what implications it has for policy rates in the medium term. And what that means is that neutral level of policy rates, how high they can go in terms of hiking rates in the future. And
remind everybody, the Fed policy, we're still accommodative.
We are still accommodative. And, you know, the level of neutral rates will define how accommodative they can be. So that's a really big question for them. It might not be market moving today, but it really has like major implications for policy medium term.
Okay. You know, despite the criticisms that Jay Powell has gotten from certain individuals about raising rates, the rates are still accommodative at this point.
Right,
so how's the U.S. economy doing? We heard that tweet from President Trump.
So the U.S. economy is doing just fine, but it's not the most recent development. The economy has been, doing pretty well for quite some time, and that actually is because the Fed did their job properly a while ago, right? Getting us out of the crisis, introducing QE policies, and so on. So that was all predetermined back then. So now we see the results. So,
at the top of the hour, I did a story about some of the attendees there, including Alan Blinder, very, very concerned about escalating trade tensions at this point. In fact, we heard from Blinder saying a really big trade war, he just can't rule that out at this point. That could derail the economic recovery in the world and especially in the U.S.
So right now, and we always have to say that, as of today, things are not that troublesome. You know, you see the minutes that were released this week, and business contacts, Fed's business contacts are saying that they have not, cut on expanding companies. They have not cut on hiring workers. So it's still going on. But they do see some risks, and this is an ongoing risk for them. They keep talking about it, the Fed officials, that if these trade tensions escalate, if they broaden, say, beyond China, you know, they it could be very severe consequences for sure. And that could be a story of 2019, in fact.
Okay, let's talk about the path of the Fed rate hikes. It's unlikely. It sounds like you're saying it's unlikely we're going to get any hints as to beyond September from Jay Powell today.
I think we could just hear them saying, okay, this is how much progress we have made towards our dual mandate. He'll talk about risks, but that will be probably it. But in terms of what we expect, I think the September 8th hike is already pretty much priced in. So it was confirmed in the minutes. But a bigger question is December. So a lot of things will happen between now and December. We're going to go into midterm elections. We will see how trade discussions develop. So that's a bigger question. We don't expect the December 8th hike. We think they're going to push it back into the next year.
All right, curvy. Let's talk about how curvy the yield curve is, or less curvy right now. What is 21 basis point difference between twos and tens? That's flat.
That's completely
flat, but that's still a concern, right?
It's a bigger concern now because that's the flattest since 2007, I believe, right? Since the crisis. So the flattening of the yield curve raised concerns about the yield curve inversion. And that could be a predecessor of the recession. So the Fed does not have a consensus with respect to this issue. So we heard from a lot of Fed speakers, including Bostic and others, that they will do anything to prevent the yield curve inversion.
Elena Shiletova of Bloomberg Economics. And just a reminder, our own Michael McKee and Kathleen Hayes are right there in Jackson Hole as Jerome Powell, the Fed chair, gets set to deliver his presentation this morning. You're listening to Bloomberg Radio.
Daybreak brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit sectorspdrs.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
Hi.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1061, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning. It is 6:30 on Wall Street. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures and European equities are gaining ahead of remarks from Federal Reserve Chairman Jay Powell. He's set to speak in Jackson Hole, Wyoming at 10 a.m. Wall Street time.
On the trade front, low-level talks between the U.S. and China this week yielded no major progress. Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie has more from Beijing.
China is bracing itself for another round of U.S. tariffs after trade talks in Washington failed to make a breakthrough. Beijing described the discussions as, quote, constructive and candid, even as the two sides remain at loggerheads. The Trump administration could impose tariffs on an additional $200 billion of Chinese products as early as September 6. China has said it would retaliate with duties on $60 billion of U.S. goods. In Beijing, I'm Tom McKenzie, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Tom. Meanwhile, President Trump is taking aim at China over postal rates. He's directing the U.S. Postal Service to eliminate postal discounts for Chinese merchants like Alibaba.
China, at the same time, is removing limits on foreign holdings in domestic banks. China says overseas financial institutions will now be treated the same as local companies.
When it comes to North American trade, NAFTA talks are poised to spill into next week. The U.S. and Mexico continue to work out their issues while Canada sits on the sideline.
Australia has a new prime minister. Treasurer Scott Morrison will replace Malcolm Turnbull, who relinquished power after infighting among his party. The Aussie dollar is stronger following the news.
And in Europe, shares of banks are gaining amid word that UniCredit is working on a tie-up with Societe Generale. UniCredit has reportedly hired advisors to work on integration options with SocGen.
It is coming up on 6:32 on Wall Street. That is time for your volatility report. The VIX rose yesterday to close at 12:41. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is currently down to 12:02. That's this morning's volatility report.
Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are higher, up 6.5 points. Dow futures up 51. NASDAQ futures up 23. The DAX in Germany is up 0.25%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32. The yield 2.83%. The yield on the 2-year 2.62%. NYMEX crude oil moving higher, up 1.2% this morning, up 79 cents to $68.62 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.33%, up $3.90 to $1,197.90 an ounce. The euro, $1.1573, and the yen is at 111.41. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street. Big island, big storm, big problems. The very latest from Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. Hurricane Elaine has caused extreme flooding on Hawaii's Big Island. According to the U.S. Central Pacific Hurricane Center, more than 2 feet of rain has already fallen on parts of the Big Island. Elaine, a Category 3 storm, is expected to make a westward turn sometime before getting to Honolulu. National Weather Service meteorologist Leanne Eaton.
Best case scenario would be that it weakens enough that the low-level trade wind flow would take over faster and push the storm away from the islands. Worst case scenario would be that it stays stronger and the low-level trade wind flow doesn't have as much of an impact on the motion of the storm and it continues to track more north towards the islands.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions responded to President Trump's latest criticism, saying he never took control of the Justice Department. Sessions says the Department of Justice will not be improperly influenced by political considerations. Now, Trump tweeted a few minutes ago in response, saying, Jeff, this is great, what everyone wants, so look into all of the corruption on the other side, including deleted emails, Comey lies and leaks, Mueller conflicts, McCabe, Strzok, Page, Orr. One of President Trump's closest longtime friends, owner of the National Enquirer, David Pecker, has been granted immunity in exchange for his cooperation with prosecutors. Pecker reportedly worked with former Trump attorney Michael Cohen to buy the silence of women who claimed to have affairs with Trump. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office is considering pursuing criminal charges against the Trump Organization and two senior company officials in connection with Michael Cohen's hush money payment to an adult film actress. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has met with President Trump to discuss South African land seizures. Trump tweeted that he had asked Pompeo to closely study the measure known as land expropriations and, quote, large-scale killing of farmers. State Department spokesperson Heather Nauert.
This is something that has been going on for many decades, the conversation and debate about land reform there. I should mention that the expropriation of land without compensation, our position is that that would risk sending South Africa down the wrong path.
Meanwhile, South Africa has said it's told the U.S. Embassy that it is disappointed with Washington's failure to use diplomatic channels to discuss land reform and a racially charged topic in the country. It also said Trump's tweet on the subject, quote, serves as only to polarize the debate on this sensitive and crucial matter. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning to you, Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Bob. The Mets dropped a 3-1 decision at Citi Field to the Giants, who salvaged a four-game split on Thursday. Madison Bumgarner improved to .500. Jacob deGrom fell to .500, despite having an ERA of 1.71. Not much going offensively for the Mets, except second baseman and rookie Jeff McNeil, who went 1-for-4. He's hitting .330. Mets manager Mickey Callaway says there's more to him than that.
He's done a great job with his footwork. He's done a great job with his hands and the way he's getting the ball out of his glove. So he continues to get better in all facets of the game, and he was a baseball player, and he's learning, and he's a learner, so that's good to see.
Bumgarner ironically drove in the lone earned run off DeGrom with an RBI double. Nationals are in town for the weekend. Jeffrey Rodriguez battles Jason Vargas tonight. Yankees are at Camden Yards to meet the Orioles in Baltimore. New York enters play 9.5 back of Boston, but 4 up on the A's in the wild card. Alex Cobb hosts CC Sabathia. The A's were dumped 6-4 in Minnesota to kick off their road trip. NFL Week 3 preseason kicked off in Cleveland. You'd like to say all Browns, but neither team looked good offensively as the Browns shut out the Eagles 5-0, including a scoreless second half. Tonight, the Giants visit the Jets at MetLife. Kickoff is 7:30. Both teams are 1-1. In golf, the Northern Trust Open from Paramus finds a five-way tie atop the leaderboard at 5-under through round one. Tiger shot an even par 71, struggled around the greens.
The greens being as soft as they are, I had to go with more club, and I just wasn't quite hitting close. Just didn't have the situations where I had the full club, and I'd go ahead and, you know, take a rip at it.
Heavy hitters Brooks Koepka and Dustin Johnson are -4, while Phil Mickelson is -3. And a great season for the Staten Island Little Leaguers comes to an end, eliminated at the World Series. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Rob Bushka, thank you very much. It is now 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
As Congress and the courts have blocked some of President Trump's most aggressive attacks on immigration, the White House has chosen to wage the war through federal regulation. A proposed rule change would have far-reaching effects on legal immigrants already living in the U.S. Currently, an immigrant applying for residence is denied if he or she appears likely to become dependent on cash assistance from the government. Now the administration is considering making it more difficult for immigrants to obtain a green card if they use non-cash public benefits, including food stamps or Medicaid. The policy assumes that immigrants who receive public benefits represent a net loss to the nation. But this is false. Many immigrants work for low wages or are sometimes in need of assistance between jobs. The president should stop freelancing on immigration restriction and instead work with Congress to achieve an immigration compromise that serves American interests and upholds American values. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. Dozens of top U.S. business leaders are speaking out on immigration. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has that story.
Those leaders include Apple's Tim Cook, J.P. Morgan Chase's Jamie Dimon, and PepsiCo's Indra Nooyi. In the letter to the Homeland Security Secretary, they express, quote, serious concerns about the Trump administration's immigration policy changes and their potential to undermine economic growth. The letter focused on recent changes in the area of high-skilled immigration. The executives decried moves that were said to include, quote, inconsistent immigration decisions and the likely curtailing of work permits for spouses of some high-skilled immigrants. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thank you. It is now 6:39 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg Green Business Report. Hurricanes seldom get close to Hawaii, and it's even rarer for one of the islands to take a direct hit. The last time a major hurricane hit Hawaii was in 1992, when Category 4 Iniki caused billions in damage. On average, the Central Pacific Hurricane region, which includes Hawaii, sees about four or five storms moving through, but that may be changing with global warming. Hurricanes are fueled by warm water, and climate scientists say the water temperature in the region is about 2 to 3.5 degrees warmer than normal. They say an unusually warm ocean in the subtropical Pacific will tend to increase the number of hurricanes around Hawaii. And that's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. S&P futures currently up 6 points. That is 0.2%. The 10-year yield at 2.8369%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Want to look into the future? That's the subject of our weekend edition of Bloomberg Daybreak, where we set you up for the coming week on Wall Street. Listen in tomorrow at 5 a.m., again at 4 p.m., and Sunday mornings at 9 on Bloomberg Radio.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures this morning are moving higher. Let's go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are trading higher right now, with Dow futures up 59 points, S&P's gained 7, and NASDAQ futures climbed by 24. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.84%, gold and oil climb, and Japan rose 0.9% overnight. Well, European markets are also rising this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, durable goods orders. And Fed's Powell gives his Jackson Hole speech at 10 a.m. After the bell last night, Intuit lowered guidance for Q1. Autodesk beat, shares are up 8% in the pre-market, and VMware also beat estimates. Regarding earnings this morning, Hibbett Sports full-year EPS forecast missed estimates, and Foot Locker EPS beat estimates. Wrapping things up, Cummins was downgraded to underweight at J.P. Morgan. L Brands was downgraded to equalweight at Morgan Stanley. In the tobacco space, Altria and Philip Morris both downgraded to hold over at Jefferies, and Netflix upgraded to buy over at SunTrust. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thank you, Bill. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump took to Twitter to ask Attorney General Jeff Sessions to look into all of the corruption on the other side, including deleted emails, Comey lies and leaks, Mueller conflicts, McCabe, Strzok, Page, Orr. Trump this morning is referencing an August 23rd statement from Sessions, who was criticized by Trump. Trump quotes Sessions saying the Department of Justice will not be improperly influenced by political considerations, saying in his tweet, "This is great, what everyone wants." Extreme flooding is occurring on Hawaii's Big Island as a result of Hurricane Lane. More than 2 feet of rain has already fallen on parts of the Big Island. In baseball, the Mets lost to the Giants. The Yankees were off. The Red Sox won. The Nationals and A's lost. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, if you plan on having a few during gatherings over the weekend, you'll want to hear this, or maybe not. There is no safe level of alcohol use. According to a new Lancet study, drinking kills 2.8 million people a year. The combined health risks associated with alcohol outweigh any possible benefits. According to the study, the biggest drinkers were in European countries. Bob, the average Romanian man threw back the equivalent of 8.2 bottles of beer a day in 2016, the most in the world.
No safe level of alcohol use. Correct me if I'm wrong, but haven't we had studies come across our desks even recently about the protective effects of alcohol consumption, the benefits of alcohol consumption?
Yeah, but I know this weekend I'm going to live on the wild side, so here
okay.
we go. I don't know. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Science marches on. It is now 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check in on what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include low-level trade talks between the U.S. and China yielding no major progress. President Trump directing the U.S. Postal Service to eliminate discounts for Chinese merchants. And NAFTA talks poised to spill into next week with the U.S. and Mexico continuing discussions while Canada sits on the sideline. Let's get more on these and other stories now from Bloomberg Washington correspondent Kathleen Hunter. Kathleen, good morning. Welcome. So with these U.S.-China talks drawing a blank, does that increase the risk that we're going to just dive deeper into the tank here?
Absolutely. I think that's exactly it. It seemed like there was maybe a bit of a kind of Hail Mary pass here in terms of trying to get these trade talks restarted, which could sort of lower the temperature a bit in terms of the sort of escalation that we've been seeing between the U.S. and China. I think it was interesting to note, I think yesterday, that basically a whole new round of tit-for-tat tariffs took effect while these talks were going on. So in some ways, it's not surprising they didn't yield any kind of an outcome, but it seems like we just proceed with, you know, this continued escalation with no real path out of it.
And the president looks around and says, well, wait a minute, why are we giving discounts to Chinese merchants when it comes to the Postal Service?
That's right. So basically, Trump has opened up yet another kind of front in this trade war that he's been waging against not just China, but, you know, other countries as well, but particularly focused on China. And now he's basically saying he wants to see a change to this sort of international postal agreement that essentially some companies have complained gives China an unfair advantage.
So then we have NAFTA, those talks set to run into next week. Canada's still on the sidelines. Is there hope of progress there?
I think hope springs eternal when it comes to NAFTA, or at least it seems to. But I think that, you know, there was some kind of sense earlier this week that they might get some kind of a handshake agreement by Thursday, by yesterday, that would have allowed Canada to sort of rejoin the talks. But there's these continued issues over Trump's insistence on tariffs on cars produced outside the U.S. And so I think that it sounds like that has been kind of hanging over the talks. And I mean, it kind of just lumbers on. It doesn't have the feeling of something that's going to wrap up soon.
And let's get away from trade now, turn to some domestic issues. And that would mean the sort of debate, the ongoing debate here between the president and his own attorney general. The president has been tweeting this morning.
Definitely. I mean, this has been one of the kind of more remarkable aspects of a truly remarkable week, is the degree to which kind of the acrimony has really bursted again out into the open over Trump and Jeff Sessions. And so this morning we're seeing, you know, yesterday we got a response from Sessions to Trump's very public criticism of him. And now what we're seeing this morning is the president again going to Twitter and essentially urging the attorney general to investigate or put resources into investigating the other side, quote unquote, of the Mueller probe. And he basically threw a litany of examples at the wall there and named a bunch of different things and people that he wanted Sessions to investigate. And this is sort of all just kind of building on Trump's narrative that the Mueller investigation is nothing but a politically motivated witch hunt. And the interesting part of that, I think, is that now he's saying that essentially his own attorney general, who he appointed, who before he was attorney general was an early supporter of his campaign, Jeff Sessions as a senator, was the first senator to endorse Trump's campaign, that he's part of the politically motivated witch hunt, that he's part of the political bias against Trump himself.
And after a session statement yesterday that the Department of Justice will not be improperly influenced by political considerations, the president tweeting this morning, Jeff, this is great, what everyone wants, so look into all the corruption on the other side. Let us talk about the potential corruption on this side. New York said to be taking early steps to probe Michael Cohen and Donald Trump's charity.
Yeah, so this is interesting because it shows that another front, again, on the sort of Cohen pleaded guilty to some federal charges regarding campaign finance violations earlier this week, obviously, as we all know now. And in doing so, he did also implicate Trump in having directed those payments. Now we know that there's a state-level probe that's being conducted of Mr. Cohen, and that that may also take a look at things that are relevant to Trump himself.
And after the convictions that we saw this week, are GOP leaders talking about this at all?
Well, I think the direction sort of that's been given to them from leadership or from, you know, from upon high to GOP lawmakers across the board is that, you know, kind of the less they say about this, the better. This is not what Republicans want to be talking about, less than, barely 2 months out from the midterm elections. They wanted to be talking about everything they've done to cut Americans' taxes. They want to be talking about how good they think the economy is doing. They don't want to be talking about Donald Trump and people close to him getting convicted. So I think that kind of the sense is that the less they say on this, the better off they are.
Bloomberg Washington correspondent Kathleen Hunter, thank you very much. And you can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. It is now 6:55 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Ramesh Paniru, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Like it or not, Donald Trump is president of the United States. His supporters often tell his critics to get over the 2016 election, to accept that he can legitimately exercise his powers, to acknowledge that he has certain legal privileges not available to the ordinary citizen. He may be, as they insist, immune to prosecution while president. But the presidency also imposes special responsibilities that are intertwined with its powers and privileges. Those responsibilities have to be kept in mind now that Michael Cohen has pled guilty and Paul Manafort has been convicted on multiple counts. Much of the discussion about whether Trump should sit down with special counsel Robert Mueller treats Trump as though he were an ordinary criminal defendant looking to shield himself from legal liability. But he has duties ordinary defendants don't. He has a duty to see to it that the nation's laws are executed. He has a duty to help get to the bottom of foreign interference with an American election. Those duties argue in favor of talking to Mueller. Because like it or not, Trump is the president. I'm Ramesh Paniru. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. It is time now for the Bloomberg Small Business Report with John Tucker. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Karen. Small business owners disenchanted with the healthcare system are turning increasingly toward healthcare sharing ministries, religion-based cost-sharing plans, or even visiting primary care clinics. Internal Revenue Service data show the number of people joining cost-sharing programs rose about 74% from 2014 to 2016. Lindsay and Chris Bergevin, who own a small auto shop in Idaho, are among those turning to this patchwork of medical care. A friend told them about a small primary care clinic called Spark MD, less than a mile from their house. The doctors don't accept insurance. Instead, they charge a monthly fee of $130 per family. No reliable data exists on how many people are replacing insurance with arrangements like this, but the trend appears to be gaining momentum. That is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report. Karen.
All right, John Tucker, thank you. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow coming up on Bloomberg Radio. And for our listeners in Washington, D.C., Bloomberg Daybreak continues. For Bob Moon, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.